What up, homies? It's your boy, Stev, and welcome to The Bracket.
Back in 2020, like most of the world, me and Ash didn't have a lot going on, so we decided to make a list of the 130 greatest movies of all time and pit them against each other, tournament style, to see which ones came out on top. We judged them against each other in five categories: production, writing, acting, originality, and rewatchability. Whichever movie took the most categories moved on. Don't get me wrong, it was rarely unanimous between us, but it was always a lot of fun. Just a heads up, we did record these a few years ago, so if the timeline feels a bit weird, that's why. If you want to check out the list of the 130 movies, I'll put a link to our website in the description below. So without further ado, let's all go back to the land of 2020, where all we did was sit at home, drink excessively, and watch flicks. Enjoy.
All right, you ready? Hello, Mrs. Candace.
That was so creepy. Hello, Mrs. Candace.
Glad you think so, because we got two of cinema's most iconic horror films of all time. And not the stereotypical, you know, walk around a corner, boo, you know, scare. We're talking about Slow Burn, fucking extra, extra well-written, just good old classic horror. The Shining, taking on Rosemary's Baby. Ashley, what did you think?
So this was a funny pair up for me because I saw The Shining a long time. Like, I barely remember any of it. And I have actually never seen Rosemary's Baby. So, of course, it's an old movie.
Yeah.
Of course, I scrunched when I saw that. And I was like, oh, my God. Honestly, both these movies were fantastic.
I'm glad you thought so. Here's the thing. If there's one thing that I think this, like, little experiment that we're doing can, like, do, it's make you appreciate old movies a little bit more. Just a little bit, all right?
I'll take that.
So, I'm glad you enjoyed Rosemary's Baby. Keep going.
Sorry. Yeah, so, The Shining, I obviously knew, like, the idea. I know what it is. But I don't remember any of the parts. I didn't remember him sitting at the bar or, like, anything like that. And Rosemary's Baby was just, man, you think you know where that shit's going and you don't.
It's so true.
It, like, and thank God it was only one bend. It wasn't like multiple zigzag, but it was like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, we're going right. Oh shit. Okay. We're going this way really, really fast.
Yeah.
And very flipping hard. And it's really in your face. And I really, really enjoyed the movie. I really did. It actually kind of creeped me out. And I'm not a person to get creeped out anymore by movies because I'm 30, but...
It's true. Rosemary's Baby is interesting because it's a movie that is super creepy.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. It's really hard to explain. Like, there's really not a lot of horror in quotations in it. There's nothing that jumps out at you. There's nothing
There's nothing.
It's just weird things. Like, right off the bat, they find that... that dresser, that armoire that is blocking the closet. It's like, why the fuck is that there? Just stuff like that. And then just like just the way people act. Some people are just too nice and you're trying to figure them out. And then like...
That one neighbor is like really in your face nice. Oh, she would have drove me nuts.
I told her to fuck off so fast.
Oh my God. Like, and then it's so funny how like couples were back in the day. Because if I looked at my man and I looked dead serious and I was like, they are not coming over. You are not hanging out with them anymore.
Yeah.
Dylan would have listened. But now we're in this era where she's like, no, I don't want you hanging out with them. And the husband was like, I'll see you later. And he left.
Yeah.
And it's funny how I'm like, no, man, you should have, like, girls got this gut instinct, man. Like, you should have listened. Yeah.
No, it's true. And even like, yeah, and The Shining has a little bit of that too, right? Where like, everybody sees what's coming.
Right.
Except for Jack. Even maybe Jack does. But he's just so, like, controlling.
Well, he was told, and then he just, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Which is actually kind of funny. I didn't even realize until right now. That is actually what both these movies actually kind of have in common in a weird way, is wives that are going through some shit and husbands that don't give a fuck. Is it just me? Like,
that's very fair.
Like, I didn't even think about it.
Well, the wife wasn't really going through anything in The Shining.
Well, here's the thing.
Not the traumatic as...
No, okay, it's true. So here's the thing that's funny, actually. I didn't even notice it until this viewing. Like, what does Jack do other than write his novel? Like, she's the one taking care of all the boilers. She's the one actually working all day. And it's his job,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's kind of funny. Like, it's his job.
The guy even said, like, that's all you gotta do. And Jack's like, that's it? Like, oh. Yeah. Okay, that's easy. Like, I got this. And then it turns out he didn't even do it.
Mm-hmm. Which is very funny, actually, because in the movie, they kind of brush it off. It's just kind of like this. Like, oh, you got to watch the boilers. Like, okay, cool. In the book, it's super fucking important. Like, it's like, if you don't watch these boilers, the house is going to fucking blow up.
Whoa.
Like, it's like, yeah. Like, so that's why it's super important for him to be there. And it's more him that watches the boilers. Whereas, like, in the movie, it's just all her. It's kind of strange.
Right. Because I know there was some spooky stuff in the one time she was down there. Yeah, like, even... Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? It's like, I'll never forget, like, how brutal the Hunger Games was for that. So the Hunger Games, like, the cat, Katniss's cat, was, like, a very important part in the book.
Yeah.
Not important, like, it didn't go to the arena or anything, but, like, it was really important. But yet in the movie, they just, like, shut up and she walked by the cat.
Yeah.
It's like you miss these important things because you're not reading the book. I've never read The Shining.
It's actually, so I have read The Shining. I've actually read The Shining and Doctor Sleep, the sequel. And I've seen, obviously, the movie Doctor Sleep as well. The movie is not super faithful to the book. There are, like, broad strokes that they follow, but, like, the finale is not anything like the book. There's a lot of things that are added to the movie that aren't in the book. Like, the hedge maze is not in the book. Right? Instead, it's like giant animals made out of like trees and stuff.
Like that's, Edward Scissorhands kind
Style? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like in the finale, like the trees come to life and shit, right? Whereas like in this, it's like, it's a giant maze. But like stuff like that, like, I know there's a lot that happens in the book that doesn't happen in the movie, which we'll maybe get more into in spoilers. Which is very funny though, because in contrast to that, the book for Rosemary's Baby, I'm not sure if it's actually called Rosemary's Baby, but it's based off a book either way, it's extremely faithful. It's faithful to the point that, like, when she goes to see the doctor, the one doctor the second time, and he's got a mustache, the fact that it's blonde, that's from the fucking book. It's like they went out of their way to be like, oh, in the book it says it's blonde, like a little blonder. So we're going to make it blonder. Like, and then like when the one neighbor brings over the two desserts and the one's got one topping. Yeah. And one got, that's from the book too. It's like it's got specific toppings on it. It's like it's right from the book.
How funny.
Like they, I know
the Watchmen did that really, really well with the word for word.
Right. It's like almost like shot for shot kind of thing. Right?
Oh, I love when they do that. But that just shows though, like, would you say it is... rude for Stanley Kubrick to like not follow Stephen King?
No, I don't think so. I think, see, first of all, so it's actually funny you bring it up. Stephen King did not like the fact that Stanley Kubrick diverted so much. So he didn't like it so much that he actually made his own version of The Shining.
Oh my God.
It was like a TV movie. It was like a 4-hour TV special that came out in like the 90s. That's very, very, very faithful.
And how was that?
It's okay. It's all right. It's not as good as the fucking Stanley Kubrick movie, but like, the problem is novels and movies are two different mediums, right? So like what works in a book, you can like with a book, you can spend
use so many imagination,
right? You could do literally anything in a book, right? And you can let anybody's imagination take over. Like you could like spend hours reading about one character and then immediately switch to another character. And that's normal for a book. For movies, you have 2 hours to at least get the feeling or the tone down. You know what I mean? Like, of course you're going to omit shit. It's just the way it is, right?
Yeah.
Not every movie can be Lord of the Rings, which has 3 fucking movies.
Yeah. That are three hours long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, and a lot of people could argue with me, like, well, a lot of the stuff he changed was pointless. But, I mean, I like to think that Stanley Kubrick, I'm going to say at least fucking 75% of his movies are based off of novels. So that's kind of his thing. He takes novels and he like...
Clockwork Orange was too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By Anthony Burgess, I believe.
Oh.
So I don't know, like, if there's one thing that he's good at, it's taking novels, and he gets what... Then, like, you even brought it up earlier, like, with the imagination, right? Like,
right.
When somebody reads a novel, like, every human being takes their own... takes something out of what they read or watch, right? Yeah. Like, their own perspectives, their own... So, I think Stanley Kubrick is very good at taking his own perspective from something and projecting it onto a screen. And it's, like, almost... maybe not better, but it's, like, a tighter version right. of that. Do you know what I mean? So,
of, like, what you were thinking.
Exactly, right? So, are these movies that we could talk about without spoiling shit? What do you think?
Not really.
Okay, so you want to just get to the rating system?
Yeah.
Cool, let's do it. I'll let you go first.
So let's go by our power.
Production.
We're going to make it a thing, power. We're going to keep saying it.
Hashtag, I got the power.
I got the power. We're going to keep in mind that The Shining budget was 19 mil. Rosemary's was 3.2.
Shit, eh? So, I'm actually surprised it was that much. I'm talking about The Shinings. Because here's the thing about the production of both these movies, right? They're both single location movies. Okay? Like, they're like, one takes place in a giant hotel and one takes place in an apartment building.
Like an apartment.
Right? So, actually, that is one thing I really enjoy about Rosemary's Baby, in all honesty, is the fact that... you don't see a lot of horror movies that take place in the middle of a city. Like, a lot of horror movies, like The Shining, are in the middle of nowhere. They're snowed in for some fucking reason. Okay. They're in a cabin in the middle of the woods. They're, you know what I mean? Something. Whereas, like, Rosemary's Baby takes place literally in an apartment building with other people. Like,
in New York City, walking the streets, yeah.
Yeah, and like, and even though it's so claustrophobic, like, it's so, like, I don't, like... if I was her, I'd be like, I don't fucking know what to do.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's so trapping. It's so strangely, like, claustrophobic. Even though it takes place in fucking New York City. It's so interesting.
Yeah, but you find The Shining should trigger you more for that.
Which is strange because it doesn't.
You literally can't move.
But it's so big.
Out of a building for 4 months.
But it's,
I can do it.
Yeah, it's such a large building that I don't think I'd notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. While Rosemary, you're stuck to 5 rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 4 rooms.
But anyway, right. Production.
Okay. I am, unfortunately, completely one-sided. There is not an argument for me.
Oh.
It is The Shining. There is no argument.
For production?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I'll get into even more
That's
later.
That's what I mean. I can't
say
why, much.
But as of right now, yeah, like... There's some shit that Stanley Kubrick's doing that's like, what the fuck? Like,
man, like, you can't touch that. You can't.
No, I agree. The production design in Rosemary's Baby is fantastic. Some of
it's
cool,
great.
But anyway.
But no, The Shining's got it. But that also shows what the $19 million went to.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. Originality.
I'd give it to Rosemary's Baby. Bluff. I'd give it to Rosemary's Baby,
wow.
Actually. There's a lot of movies and stories about people trapped in...
That's fair. I'll give it to Rosemary's too then for that. You're right.
Whereas like there's, again, it's really hard to talk about without spoiling anything, but there's a lot of aspects of Rosemary's Baby that I really like. And I find, I've never seen this before, which is the reason why it's probably...
You've never seen it?
No. I'm sorry. Like, I've never seen like this particular, like it's very original.
Actually, I have to ask you a question.
So,
a little off topic. Sorry, everyone. But is there a movie on this list you have not seen?
You know what? I thought there might be, but I don't think so. No. I don't believe so.
Okay. Just curious. I thought about that and I was like, oh, I wonder if there's going to come a time we're recording and you're going to be like, Ash, for the first time ever.
There are some movies, obviously, that I've never seen that are very popular, but, I don't know. They just didn't end up on this list for whatever reason. And maybe we should make a list of movies that I've never seen. That'd be fun.
I wonder if I've seen any of
them. That'd be something. Like, there's some fucking movies that I've, like, there's a lot of, like, really popular movies that I haven't seen. You know what I mean? Like,
well, me too.
Like, so.
Well, I mean, the next episode is one of them. Yeah. Well, anyways.
We'll see. Which, okay.
Anyway,
sorry. So, originality.
Originality.
Rosemary's Baby.
Is Rosemary's Baby.
Boom. So,
I gave it to you.
So, yeah. The first two are cancel each other out. So,
yep. So, writing, I would have to do The Shining.
I give it to Rosemary's Baby, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I think, like, I'm going to be honest. As soon as you step into The Shining.
I think it's the acting, though, for.
Yeah.
That's getting me for The Shining.
See, here's the thing. Like, I just feel like as soon as you step into The Shining, you know exactly where it's going. Like, oh, there are some things. Yeah. It's pretty well written. And, like I said, I really enjoy the book.
Like a medieval horror, you know where it's going.
Yeah, but, like, Rosemary's Baby, it's just so, like, I don't know. There's a lot. Like, you even said it yourself. Where, like, you're like, I didn't know where the fuck this was going. And then it took, like, a weird, like, turn. You're like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, that's fair. I will give you Rosemary's for that.
Okay.
Because you're right. I knew where it was going the whole time. It was said in the first 5 seconds of the movie. Well, Rosemary's, there was a minute where I was like, oh.
Okay.
All right. I'll give you that. See, but acting, for me, there is no argument. It has to be The Shining.
I don't know.
Come on, man.
I think
you are.
This is the so first time.
Ridiculous.
This is the first time we're actually really at odds.
You are so ridiculous. Jack Nicholson cannot be touched by anything else. Okay, in this movie.
I agree that he's really good. But at the same time, as soon as he walks into the hotel, he's kind of crazy. He's kind of like nuts.
I can't move.
Then okay.
I won't move.
All right. You know what? How about this? I'll give it to you. We'll make it a tie again. And it all falls down on rewatchability.
Come on. You can't give it to Rosemary's for rewatchability.
This one's tough for both of them, actually. You'd give it to The Shining?
Yeah. I would be happy to watch The Shining again right now.
Yeah, I'd probably give it to The Shining.
Then I would be. Because The Shining has so many personalities and so much brightness to it, and there's so much in every scene something else is happening, while Rosemary's Baby, it's very gray and it sits like that
it's true.
It's very one feeling.
I do agree. So I'd give it the rewatchability to The Shining. So you're saying The Shining wins?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest, I would have picked Rosemary's Baby, but I'll give you this one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I like, here's the thing. I really like both movies. So okay. I'm happy with either one.
I didn't hate Rosemary's Baby at all.
It's a fucking awesome movie. I didn't mind it. Yeah.
Yeah. I The Shining does stuff that Rosemary's cannot compete with for me.
Yeah.
Like just Jack and how crazy. Like there's not many actors that can touch with how amazing he did.
Yeah.
And he just ran with it. Plus, the wife was fucking scared shitless the whole movie. Oh, and God. You felt that. You're like, oh, fuck, she's terrified.
So apparently, like, they filmed the whole movie in sequence, like, in order.
Oh.
And the director on purpose, it sounds awful, but he apparently treated Shelley Duvall, who played the wife, like shit. Like, progressively more and more and more and more. So she would get, she would, have panic attacks and stuff. Because she was, she couldn't do good enough, apparently. But afterwards, he's like, I was just doing that because I really wanted her reactions to be real and genuine.
And fucking, it her shows. In the bathroom, yeah. And she's, shaking. Yeah. You're like, dude, I feel for you so bad.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's really good. They're all three of them are really good. Even the kid's great. He's got a lot of, charm to him. And then Skatman Crothers is that who plays Dick O'Halloran? Dick O'Halloran?
I don't know.
Not O'Halloran, sorry. Yeah, he's fantastic too. Like the guy who, he's really good too. So, okay, cool.
So The Shining and sorry, Rosemary's. I didn't hate you for once. I didn't hate one of them. They were both good. But yeah, I just, sorry. I can't even say it enough. The Shining crushes.
For sure.
So,
all right, next spoilers.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers, Mrs. Gannon.
Spoilers! You can do that really good. I can't.
Anyway.
Spoilers!
Apparently, he spoilers! Anyway. How did they fit all of that luggage in that little car in The Shining? There was he's like, hey, can I get your luggage? He's like, oh yeah, it's over there. And there's this giant fucking pile of luggage.
I didn't even know.
How the fuck? I didn't never noticed until this. I'm like, how the fuck did they fit all that luggage in there?
I have a new question. And it's even a more important question. How did the wife not fit through that fucking goddamn bathroom window? If I was dying, everyone, I'm a size 16, I'm 230 pounds, and I would have squoze through that like fucking Gumby.
Oh, I'd be
like,
breaking the window.
No problem.
Yeah, I'd be breaking the window. It'd take me 2 seconds.
Like, are you? And she's like, I can't get out. And I'm like, bullshit. Bullshit. It's like, I would have threw fucking Danny across the room, and I would have went through first. I would have found my way.
It's like, you weigh 5 pounds soaking wet. Like, fucking squeeze through that.
That's like the problem. She's like 117 pounds, and it's like, how did you not fit through that?
She's probably thinner than Danny is.
Literally. Yeah, that drove me nuts. And the whole time, I'm just screaming at the TV, and I'm like, bitch. Bitch. And you have a knife.
Oh, yeah. What did she do? Oh, she ends up... Is that when she cuts his hand? She cuts his hand with a knife, but then does she clob him on the head right at that point? Try not to sneeze, sorry. Is that the part where she hits him in the head?
I think she does clob, no.
No, because he runs away to Danny, and that's...
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, speaking of that, by the way, Saw changed my life forever. Because if I had a madman try to break through the door at me, I would have grabbed the toilet bowl lid.
Oh, for sure.
When he did his head poke through... Smack! That would have knocked him out.
Yeah.
The chick sucks at surviving. Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty much panicking the whole time, eh?
See, but that's what sucks is that, like,
but the difference...
I can't be in a horror movie because I would survive in the first 5 minutes and I'd be done.
You ever see a movie called You're Next? You'd really enjoy it. I think it's good.
I think I have.
It's good.
I've seen so many horror movies, though. It's like shitty horror movies.
It's good.
Is that the making love one? And
I don't think so.
What's the one where, like, you have sex with them and the ghost follows you?
Oh, that's It Follows. That's a really good movie.
I saw that one. What's Your Next?
No, Your Next, anyways. it's about this, like, it's like a family reunion. And so it's like a super wealthy family, and they own this really big house in the middle of nowhere. And they all come, and they all bring, like, their, like, boyfriends and girlfriends, and they, like, have this nice family reunion. And randomly a group of dudes with, like, crossbows and axes, like, just start breaking and start killing them off. But the thing that's cool about it is the main character is, like, one of the son's girlfriends is, like, the main character. And it turns out, like, it's not really a spoiler, you find out pretty quickly, that she grew up on like a survivalist colony. So she, like, knows how to fucking kill things really well. So she, like, the whole movie is, like, her trying, like... They come in thinking they're fighting like a normal person, and she's like ultra deadly, and it's fantastic. Like,
you are fucked.
Like, there's one scene where she just beats a guy to death with a hammer, and everybody else is just standing there like watching, like, holy fucking shit. Like,
no, I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's very good. I recommend it. Either way, to be fair though, to Wendy in this movie, she kind of sees the worst shit out of everybody. Like, the stuff that Jack sees, it's very, like, you know, just rolling with it. He, like, you know what I mean? He, like...
The bartender.
Talks to the bartender.
The party.
He sees the corpse of the woman. Like, he, like, makes out with the corpse at one point. That's kind of fucked up. But, like, she's, like, running through the halls, and she sees, like, the bloody elevator open. She sees, like, the bunny rabbit getting a... I think he's getting a blowjob from the one dude. Like, stuff like that. You're just, like... It's a lot of, like, what the fuck moments.
The dog or whatever.
Yes.
And while, though, Danny sees the two girls dead in the hallway and...
That's a fucked up scene.
Super sad.
Yeah, that, like...
So, what is the ending? Because you find out that he was the caretaker all along.
I don't know.
Because he was in the photo.
I like to think that it has to do with the fact that the house absorbs you. So now you're one of us, kind of thing.
And you were with us the whole time,
kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Because, like,
the one guy was like, no, you are. You have been for...
You've always been here.
You've always been here.
I made a short film recently and I totally stole that line.
That's hilarious.
Except the line was, I've always been here, instead of
you've
always
been here. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing, actually... One thing I actually really liked about, so going back to the novel.
It's funny when you said that, because I know who said it, and I can hear their voice saying it.
One thing I actually like about the novel compared to the movie, if there's one thing that I like better about the novel, they explain more why the house wants them.
Oh.
So, like, in the movie, it's just kind of like, oh, the
hotel. It just is what it is.
It's just haunted. Yeah. But, like... And I guess it just does this to all the caretakers, I guess, because it did it the last one. Why? Like, it's just one of those things, right? Whereas in the book, the house sees that Danny has the shining, has like the power to like project his mind. And the house realizes that if it has that, it can get out of this fucking hotel. Like the spirits, they're like, if we can project mentally, we don't have to fucking be here anymore. So they need Jack to kill Danny so they can absorb him. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's why Jack is trying to kill Danny, because he never actually tries to kill his wife.
No, he only...
Because the minute he went in the bathroom, saw Danny wasn't there, and he left.
Exactly. He just wants to kill Danny. And it's never explained in the movie, but it's explained in the book. That's why. I really like that explanation.
How funny.
Right?
And I never knew what red rum meant until I watched this movie.
Oh, yeah?
I knew what red rum... I knew... Oh, no, like the term?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I don't mean to ruin the movie for anybody, but...
Oh, we're already in spoilers.
No. Like, I'm ruining the movie for you forever.
Okay.
While watching this movie, Jack Nicholson reminded me of somebody, and I'm like sitting there, I'm trying to think about it. It looks like identical to if Johnny Knoxville was trying to portray Jack Nicholson in The Shining. When you rewatch the movie, I ruined it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks and acts just like Johnny Knoxville, but he does a shitty job of portraying Jack Nicholson in The Shining and all the whole time. And I'm like, oh my God, that's all I... Because unfortunately, I only knew Jack Nicholson as who he is now.
Yeah.
I never seen him that young. So when I saw him that young and I was like, oh, he looks like Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. But anyways, okay. It sucks. I ruined it for myself. And that part of him walking up the stairs was fucking mint.
When he's like...
When she's like walking up backwards.
Yeah.
I was creeped out.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Dude, and that like, scene, he fucking unleashed it all in that scene.
Yeah, he's like, Wendy, love of my life.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt you. Yeah. I got a question, actually. That's I was just thinking about it while I was watching this movie. I got two questions, actually. Okay. Why doesn't the house try to kill Dick, like, the caretaker? Dick Halloran. Like, the janitor.
Because he has the shining.
Yeah, but, like...
Why wouldn't
you'd
he
think,
die?
You'd think
know.
They would want that, the shining, right? And then, two, actually, since he has the shining, do you think he knows he's gonna die when he goes there? Like, he must, right? Like...
I don't think... The Shining is just to talk between other people with The Shining. Is it a future thing?
Okay. The only reason why I'm even thinking about it is because it goes back to the question, who's Tony? Like the man that lives in his mouth. Who is that? Okay. In the book, it actually says, which is probably why I know. And again, it's nothing that's not in the movie and they really should explain it. In the book, it's him from the future.
Who?
Danny. It's like him 10 years later.
So that's why Tony's like, don't go to the hotel. Yeah. Don't go.
Yeah. And then he's like helping him throughout the thing because he knows how to get out. So that's it. So it's like him from the future kind of guiding his like past self. So if there is like a time thing that can happen, do you think he knows that he's going to die? I don't know. It's just like an interesting thing.
One question about that. If you knew you were going to leave alive, why would you change it? Like, yeah, you want your dad to be alive and blah, 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 blah. But your dad hurts you and you know that he's like...
Yeah, but you also remember that somebody... You from the future
someone...
was talking to you. And that's what helped you. So you think you would have to be the person to do that, right?
Man. Never did ask the question who Tony was. I guess that should have been a major question.
But they never explain it, so I guess it's not important in the movie. And in the movie Dr. Sleep, they don't say that like he talks to his past self. So like,
dude, I don't know what's. We went down. We like, what is that fucking movie? We're in a thought and a thought and a thought now.
Yeah.
And I'm all inceptioning thoughts now, and we're okay. So why wouldn't they want the caretaker if he has The Shining? The chef. That's a great question. Why is he alive?
Why, maybe because he knows not to be there.
Or is it only because it's in the winter? But why would it only be in the winter?
I don't know. It's
because it's too loud, maybe? And then at least if you're alone, you can hear.
Maybe the ghosts know that it's like if somebody dies while other guests are there, you get like a 3-star Yelp review, and like, well, we need people to come here.
But then we won't get any more Shinings, so we need people.
We need some fucking business, okay, guys? Like,
I have not a clue why. That's so weird. Maybe because he wasn't strong enough because he's just a kid, so they could easily overthrow him.
Yeah, and it's also...
They have a Shining. Jack killed him in the hotel.
Okay.
So why would they still need Danny?
Yeah, I don't know. Best thing is Jack... Does he have the Shining? Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
The guy died in the hotel. So if that's all they needed, then Danny's not in the hotel anymore. So why would Jack still chase him?
That's a good point, actually.
Dude, now we're going into sixth thought. I don't know. Now we're just with fucking Batman and Robin over there with Robin.
They do say in the sequel movie and book, okay? Okay, so to get a little into it, the sequel, it's about... So it doesn't take place at the hotel, okay?
Okay.
It's about Danny when he's older. He's like in his like 30, he's like 40s or 50s or whatever. And he's a doctor now. Like he like was a hardcore alcoholic just like his dad because of all the shit that he like witnessed, right? But then he ended up getting clean and he like became a nurse that helps people transition into the afterlife. So, like, he goes... To, okay. He, like, knows people are going to die.
Yeah, my girlfriend does that right now.
Right? So, like, he goes there and he helps him. He's like, listen, there is a heaven, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, helps people, right? They call him Dr. Sleep because he only shows up when you're right about to die and, like, he helps you transition, right? And what it's about is vampires that feed off of Shine. So, and what it is Danny starts talking to this girl, this, like, young girl. She's like... But she's... as strong as he is with the Shine. And so they start talking mentally and then she ends up doing something and alerting these vampires to her like existence. So he has to go save her. And that's what like the book is about. But they say in the book that the Shine of a child is better. It's like stronger than an adult. So maybe that's why Dick wasn't enough. They wanted Danny too.
The minute you said vampire, the movie sounds terrible.
It's really good.
The minute the word vampire went in there, you lost me.
Vampire is a bad word. They're not vampires. They're just... they act like vampires because they feed off of Shine. And like they need it to survive.
I wonder why the kids would be more powerful.
I don't know. Because more imagination, I guess.
That's fair.
Like, I don't know. I just assume it's like that.
But... I think it's just less... Again, like I'm just spouting ideas. Like maybe it's less... cluttered in their mind while an adult is thinking of this and this and this and this and this. They're not as strong on the one subject of The Shining while a kid has nothing else to really
and that's it like
concentrate on in life.
Adults panic. Adults are like
right oh we panicky. Have a sense of that's dangerous, we can't do that.
Exactly.
While a kid is like whatever,
we're very much into drugs, we're very much into that, you know what I mean? Kids are very pure.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, let's come back from the sixth thoughts. I don't know what the hell. I don't know.
Okay, and then I got one more. It's gonna send us down a hole. I'm sorry. I noticed these as I was watching it. I have to like write them down. Okay.
It's okay. Let me call Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. Okay.
I can't think of Robin's name. What the fuck is Robin's name?
Oh, you're talking about Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. So the ghosts can't hurt you, right? In The Shining. Do they hurt anybody? They make other people... They, like, drive other people to hurt people. They don't actually hurt people themselves.
They haven't. They didn't hurt anybody the whole movie.
No. So can they hurt people? Because you'd think they would if they could, right?
Why? Well, then why wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they need it. Well, the only time you really come across any ghosts is Danny.
At the very end, though. But they don't hurt Wendy, either.
What ghost did Wendy come encounter with?
With all the ones at the end. With the dog and the dude with the drink and the blood on his face.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm leading us towards a question. Okay, so
because my argument is Danny or not Danny,
Jack.
Is his name? Jack Torrance, yeah. Was let out of the walk-in fridge.
That's exactly where I'm getting at. How did he get out of the fridge?
Okay. I'm going to be completely fair with you. I work in a restaurant 5 days a week. If you are pegged in that walk-in, you cannot get out.
Yeah, you're fine.
I can tell you that.
You're fine.
Automatically.
And she totally...
When she put in that clip, that was it.
So the ghosts must be able to do things.
They have to. They have to.
That's so strange, right?
But then again, you're talking about a guy who felt a woman's presence.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, they can touch you. Because for him to wrap around a woman and, like, grip her and to feel the kiss and everything, that's pretty intense.
And that's true. And he's also drinking at the bar.
But so does he get drunk, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's drinking the whole time. He's
does he get drunk?
I think so. I feel like he does.
Like, he doesn't walk stupid. He doesn't talk stupid.
That's true.
Like, he has a limp, but that's because...
He fell down the stairs.
Yeah, so, like, I don't think that really has affected anything. Yeah. I guess they're not there to hurt people, because the only time Danny comes across them is just the two girls.
Yeah.
But they can't kill Danny. Jack has to.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going down a rabbit hole. All right, let's talk about Rosemary's Baby a little bit.
Those are good. No, these are genuine good questions. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I ever meet Stanley Kubrick, I'll ask.
Okay, good. Well, he's dead, so...
Okay, if I ever meet...
We hold a seance, and of all people Stephen in the King, fucking afterlife...
If I ever meet Stephen King, I'll ask.
You'll just say, that fucking Stanley Kubrick.
I don't talk about that fucking movie. Okay, well, man, listen, I got a podcast. Okay? I told everyone. Okay, so Rosemary's Baby.
Okay, so first of all, the opening lullaby is super creepy.
Very creepy. Reminds me of Pet Sematary.
Yeah, a little bit. Me too, actually. So apparently that was actually Mia Farrow's... doing the lullaby too, like the humming.
Ew.
Which ties into the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. What did you think of the ending?
So, I was not expecting her to just accept it.
Me neither.
At first, she freaked out. And then her husband was beside her and he's like, you know, I'm sorry. And she spat on him. Which, first off, I would have punched the fucking teeth out of his
mouth. Fuck that guy. He's the worst.
And, yeah, for her to, like, walk up to it and she was, like, talking to it and stuff, it was weird.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, like, let's just throw it out there. Neither of us are parents.
That's fair.
So we don't know what it's like to have children. So maybe it's...
A newborn.
Yeah, maybe it's a maternal thing. Like, I don't know. But one thing I didn't like about the ending... I've only seen this movie twice. I saw this movie years ago.
Okay.
I didn't really appreciate it as much as I did this time when I watched it. Because I was a little younger. I don't like the fact that everybody wins. Is it just me or does everyone win in this movie? Even the main actress wins because she technically does get her baby. All of the villains win because they get their antichrist.
The husband wins.
Yeah, like...
That sucks.
And I don't like it. And they're all kind of... it's funny. I don't know. It's a weird thing to say out loud. I don't like the fact that they kill... They don't even kill, but they do kill a couple people. But, like, so many innocent people. And it just seems like for, like, silly reasons. Here's the thing. It's coming from a guy who loves slasher films.
Okay.
And loves watching, like, dumb teens go to a cabin. And, oh my God, a big slasher guy kills them all.
That movie is so stupid. Cabin in the Woods.
First of all, that movie's amazing. Don't listen to her. But like the fact that the fucking one actor goes blind.
Yeah.
It's only because he wanted that role. And he was willing to give up his fucking firstborn child, literally, for like a role.
Sad.
That's fucked up.
Because he's like, this could take care of us forever.
Yeah, like that's all he thinks about.
Do you know how many good actors had one role and they've never been anything else?
Yeah.
A lot of them. Danny, fun fact, is one of them.
Yeah.
Danny Lloyd from The Shining, he has only ever done The Shining, apparently. Apparently he's never been in anything else.
Really?
Which kind of bog. I think he was in one thing and that was it. He never really became anything.
What he does now?
I don't know.
Off topic.
So.
But either way, like.
First off, that husband is a fucking asshole. The whole movie, he irked the shit out of me. I could never imagine having a grown-ass man who, in quotations, loves me, tells me, well, that haircut was a regret. You look ugly.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
I'm like, excuse me?
But it seems like it has something to do with the fact that she's carrying that child. Because everybody in that circle is like, why'd you cut your hair?
Like, you look like shit the whole time. Yeah. You look like shit. And she's like, I know.
It's like, thanks.
I know. Like, what is wrong with everybody in this fucking movie?
I don't know.
And then there's the woman, the next door, the Minnie.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm hosting a party with my friends. And Minnie's like, all right, well, you know, I'll take the jackets. No, Minnie, it's okay. Well, let me clean up. No, Minnie, it's okay. Okay, well, let me do. And it's like, and then she's in the bathroom crying and the girls are in there and the husband is like fighting a woman to get in the, like.
Yeah. I think fuck up. It's obvious because he.
I know, because they're going to talk.
He needs her. No, yeah, exactly. He needs her to stay there. Yeah, but like.
But no, it's because he was afraid of her being like, it hurts. And the girls are like, why does it hurt? It's not supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
And then it's going to get in her head. Because the right whenever the fucking doctor, Saperstein says, like, every pregnancy is different. Everyone has different pains. When he started saying all that, I'm like, oh, shit's going wrong.
Yeah, definitely. So it's actually interesting. I knew it was how the movie was going to end, but like, I can see how anybody would think while watching this movie that there's a definite point in which, I think it's after she goes to the second doctor, like the Dr. Hill for the second time.
Yeah.
There's a definite point in which, like, it would make sense to think it's very possible that she's actually, like, losing her mind.
Well, it's whenever she's bringing up the books, and she's putting the books in his hand, and he's, like, reading the books, looking at her, and she's like, and then his dad is this guy, whose name is Roman, and you could tell this doctor's kind of looking at her, like, okay.
It's like, which is an anagram for this. It's like,
Exactly.
So, like, I could, like, if this movie ended, and she just had the baby, and it was normal, and that was it, like, what would you think of that ending? Like, that would kind of, it would kind of work for me in a way.
So the only reason why that whole thing could not have worked for me is because of the chocolate dessert. And then she got drugged.
Yeah.
That is the only reason. Now, when she went to Dr. Hill and she was explaining the story and he was taking the books and listening, I honestly thought he was going to help her. I really did.
Yeah.
Because this is my first time watching it. And I honestly thought, oh my God, because he has in his notes that she had some weird substance in her blood.
Yeah.
Why was that? Why did he never, like, put two and two together?
She never came back to him. Maybe he's pissed because he's like, you know what? I expected that extra raise this year. He decided to go to a different doctor.
Oh, Lord. But, like, that should have been in his notes. And whenever he read, every doctor has every fucking thing that you go there for, and we're talking 9 months.
No, it's true.
That's not that long. So he could have said, why does she have my number? Why does she know who I am? Oh, I have a thing about her. Oh, she had a weird substance in her blood. Oh, that's weird. And now she's talking all crazy about witches. I might have actually listened. I might have taken her blood, and I might have heard her out. But, which means he is in ties with Saperstein.
Yeah, okay.
Because he calls him, like, immediately.
See, but, okay. I would think yes, except for he didn't know that she knew Saperstein until she said it.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, my doctor, Dr. Saperstein. He's like, oh, Abraham Saperstein. And then so I think he knows him, but I don't think he's a part of the circle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he knows him enough to like where.
It's like, hey, man, one of your fucking patients is over here. Like,
but that's. See, this is where it gets weird because. I understand people can be a little cuckoo. I get it. Okay. Except she went to Hill because of people that know him.
Yeah. Her friends that were at like that
exactly,
party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would not think of her as, oh, she's crazy, because she's in the same circle as people that I know.
Yeah.
So because she went to him through people, I would have maybe sat down and listened to her and said, okay, well, let me get some scoop on her, instead of literally throwing her out the door with Sapristi.
Yeah, I think it's kind of weird too. I actually...
The whole thing was like, you didn't even, like, you have all the components right there.
Yeah. I also don't, but at the same time, I don't understand why she actually went to the doctor in the first place. Like, I understand she has to, like, deliver this baby soon, so, like, it makes sense to go to a doctor, but I don't know why you wouldn't call one of your friends first. Unless you just don't know their number, but, like, you must have waited. You know what I mean?
No, what are you talking about?
Like, her friends, like, the friends that, like, came to that party. Why not call one of them first?
Instead of Dr. Hill?
Yeah, and be like, hey, like, I'm fucking running away from my house. I need somewhere to stay.
Well, I think she needed Dr. Hill because she remembered, oh, he found something in my blood.
Oh, is that...
See, and she was like, I'm listening now. I'm eyes wide open. I'm listening. I need you. I need you. I need you. You told me I was in trouble. He didn't. But she knew.
Yeah.
Because whenever she got off the phone, she was like, blood sugar.
Yeah.
What? And she kind of like, oh, okay. No matter what, even if I went to a different doctor, there is no man, there is no family member, there's nobody that would have not made me go to that appointment. If a doctor tells me, hey, we need another blood sample, don't worry, it's just this, I would have been there.
But at the same time, because I was also thinking about this time too, it's funny how much we trust medical professionals, right? Like if I have a fucking pain in my stomach and I go to the doctor, I'm like, I have a fucking pain in my stomach.
Right.
And they do an x-ray, like, oh yeah, you're fine, it's just this, just take some pills, blah, blah. I'm going home and I'm just taking pills.
Talking months, though?
That's true.
And on top of that, and I understand, like, you're not a woman. You might not have that. Well, no, I don't think you are. But it's like, we're talking about a baby that's inside of you that you're growing.
Yeah.
You would have not taken any fucking chances. If there was a doctor who was like, you're fine. I'm like, no, my baby hurts. I'm not fine. Figure out what's wrong or I will go to Dr. Hale, who already told me something was wrong.
Yeah.
And instead, she kept listening because her husband is a fucking asshole.
He's the worst. The
neighbor's a fucking asshole. And everyone, sorry, I'm swearing, but I'm angry at this poor girl who knew. But then I'm wondering what would Dr. Hill have found?
Yeah.
She was pregnant.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You can't unless you do an ultrasound, I guess. She never did an ultrasound that whole time. Actually, not we talk about
that? Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, because she doesn't know the sex of the baby.
So Saperstein didn't like...
He's an herbal doctor. He's like, nah, whatever. Just to eat this. That's another thing too, actually. That fucking neighbor constantly giving her milkshakes is fucked up.
Fucking weird. Why is it white? Oh, it's milk, right?
Yeah, it's like herbs and shit though. It's like, ugh.
So like, my best friend is 42 weeks pregnant, right? Well, technically she's 43.
I was on Facebook earlier, which I'm never on Facebook, and I saw a picture of her. She's fucking huge.
No, right? She's not as big as you think. Oh, her really? Stomach is.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
I'm like,
her face and her hands and feet are normal.
No, she looks normal. It's just her,
which is weird.
Her stomach
is. I know. She's 43. Huge. But anyways, so Brittany did not want to know the sex of the baby the entire 9 months, and they still don't know.
Yeah.
But she still goes for ultrasounds every few weeks.
That's true.
So it's like, yeah, the screen is facing away from her. But the doctor wants to make sure everything is fine.
Maybe the 60s was a different time. I don't know.
Apparently, because like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Then again, I was supposed to have spina bifida, and I was born, I didn't. So I guess all the science has really...
Yeah, it's
well, has come a, far science, since 90s, let alone...
Yeah, science evolved
70s. Year, yeah. That's fair. I'll give you that. But... yeah, I'm still angry. And then she felt the baby, like, kicking, and it was, like, the first, like, few months. That's not right.
Yeah.
I think the baby is supposed to kick when it's, like, 5 or 6. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I'm throwing it out there at that very end party that she shows up to. First of all, when she shows up with the knife, I don't know, maybe it's just because of all the movies I watched, like, these days. I really wanted her to stab that guy in the neck, like, the, like, Roman.
Yeah.
When he grabs her and he's like, hey, why don't you come see your baby? Like, I just wanted her to fucking get him right in the neck. Like, because it just seemed like that's what was going to happen. But
Kind of wish. I wish a lot of things in that scene happened.
Because
whenever you see the baby's eyes are crazy, you think she wouldn't have went back to it.
Yeah.
So I guess its hands are like claws.
Yeah, and its feet are like,
I guess, hooves,
I guess.
You never really saw Satan's feet in the movie, eh?
No.
You just saw his hands. And then the husband was like, so I know, I can't portray how much of a douchebag this guy is, but he's like, sorry, you were asleep and I was drunk. I just thought I may as well kind of.
Right.
It's like
holy
fuck. What? Did you have sex with me when I was passed out? What? Yeah, that creeped me out.
And he has such a was it as good for you as it was for me attitude? Like, it's like, ugh.
I trimmed my nails. Sorry, I scratched you. It's like, you're fucking weird.
That's, yeah, instantly fucked up. But at the same time, like he has to say something like that. It's like making him look creepy, but he didn't actually do it, but still fucking, he's even more of a piece of shit for what he did do. So fuck him. Like,
all because he wanted to be an actor.
Like, he literally gave up his firstborn child. Literally.
That's so gross.
It's fucked up.
Just to be famous forever.
Yeah.
And then she's going to be the mother of Satan. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, that's the thing. Well, they intended for the baby to just like go.
Adrian, excuse me. His name is Adrian, I think. But
Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, so who? Who's
the baby's name is Adrian.
Was that?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Why does that name hit me?
You're probably right. I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
I thought it was, maybe it was Andy or Jenny. He's calling it Andy or Jenny. She doesn't know the baby's.
She switched it the whole movie. Remember, it was Susan.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was Sarah. And then the father kept saying, what about this? What about this?
You're right.
Okay, go ahead. Keep talking and I'll look it up. I'm pretty sure it's.
yeah, he's a fucking douche, though. He's a big old fucking bag of douche. That's the thing. But the things they do, like they kill Hutch. I'm not a fan of that.
Adrian.
It is Adrian. Okay, well, fuck. But anyway, they kill Hutch. I'm not a fan of that. Everybody they kill are good people.
Hutch.
And like genuinely good people that were just trying to help. And I hate the fact that they're just, these people, just bad things happen to them. Hutch's, I believe it's his wife or daughter. I think it's his wife. Gives her the book.
Yeah.
And says, oh yeah, he came to for a split second. Thought it was the next day. Said, give her the book.
Who is Hutch?
Hutch, you know what? I'm not 100% sure. I thought at first it was her therapist. And I think it is.
Oh, I never really got that.
They never really explain it. She just goes and talks to him.
Yeah.
I think it's not a doctor. Because I thought it might be her doctor, but that's Dr. Saperstein. Unless that's her gynecologist. I don't really know.
He has a thesaurus. Does that mean anything? Not a thesaurus.
He's a writer of some sort.
Encyclopedia?
Yeah.
Because he says it and he's like, oh, I'll look it up in the encyclopedia. Do only rich people have encyclopedias in the 70s? I don't know. Anyways.
I thought it was her therapist.
Okay.
Or like her psychologist or psychiatrist. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, he was in a coma for 3 months.
And then he fucking dies. But then, and it's just because he gave her the book. And then, or he was going to tell her about the book. But then, she's given the book by the relative of whomever. But it has their address on it. And the neighbor is like, here, let me take that for a second.
Yeah.
While she and she looks at the address. And the first thing I thought is, well, that fucking person is dead too now. And all she was doing was trying to help. There was literally nothing. It was just
didn't even think of that.
That's just the way and all she literally did was oh, hey, he left you this book.
He kind of murmured that it's an acronym or.
Yeah.
It's not an acronym, it's an anagram. Whatever.
For no fucking reason. It's just.
Oh, because she says, oh, my friend used to live there.
Yeah. It's fucked up. I don't know. It's just and again, I'm the type of person who loves watching slasher flicks where random people just get slaughtered for no reason.
Oh.
But I don't know what it is about this movie. When it happens to them, I feel really
I hate that she just kept drinking the stuff and taking the pill and eating this, even though she felt like shit every day.
Yeah, but it goes back to that. When somebody tells you it's what you have to do, you just do it, right?
Well, not if I feel like shit. I'm going to change it after a month.
That's a good point. Yeah. No,
because me being in distress about pain is putting distress in the baby. These are all things that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Every time my husband is screaming at me or every time he makes me cry, the baby is getting screamed at.
Yeah.
And it's you can't have that.
What a douche.
I don't know, man. Man, I have such, apparently, I have very high.
Yeah. I gotta throw it out there too, and that ending scene where like they're all collected around the baby. Dude with the camera.
What is up with that?
Like, I don't fucking know. But he's weirdly my favorite character in the whole movie. Just like, she's like having a meltdown and he's like,
taking pictures.
And he's like, hey, get over there, I'll take a picture. Like, he's just like so happy to be there taking pictures. It's just like, what the fuck?
Pictures of Adrian. Baby Adrian. Yeah, it's super like creepy. And especially because like I actually have friends that are like witches. They're not witches like that. But like, it's just funny seeing like what they are portraying as being called a witch. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, these people are crazy. My friends aren't. They're cool. But yeah, like how everyone knows what these roots are that are in the drinks. And he's like, you shouldn't be having that. Why are you having that?
Apparently that's a made up thing too. Tannis root?
Tannis root?
Apparently it was made up for the book.
Because he's like, you should have anise root. That's what you should be anise, having. Yeah. You should be having this. And he's trying to give her suggestions. And the woman's like, ah, rah, 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 nonsense, rah, rah, rah. And the stinky necklace. It's like, if it stinks, why the fuck are you wearing it?
Somebody told her to. Yeah, I don't know.
Again, you feel like shit and you're going to keep this around your neck for good luck? Well, it's not about fucking helping. Yeah. Take it off. See, I have too much common sense for horror movies. Way too much common sense.
Either way.
I don't know. Like, if I was fucking Wendy, I would have walked out of The Shining with my son in my hands.
But you can't, because it's a blizzard going on.
I would be like, let's go. Steven, I'm going to die.
But like,
I have my husband breaking through doors, killing me. I will try to walk wherever I can.
Yeah, but you will literally freeze to death.
Better than my husband slash
him. I don't know, man. I would think I can't beat the weather, but I might be able to beat him. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so... But she doesn't even try that. She just kind of runs around, like, scared.
Because the place is big enough.
Even when she... Yeah, it's massive. And I guess you could have just hidden a room, and he would have never probably found you. Although the ghost would tell him. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Now, we're going back to the Inception thing again. Yeah. Would they tell him? Yeah, they would.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, in the book, how the book ends, the boilers are really important, because if you aren't paying attention to the boilers, they could explode. So they aren't paying attention to the boilers because of all the shit that's going on, and they start to overheat and like freak out. So Jack, he pins Danny in like the boiler room area, and then Danny kind of convinces him, like, listen, like in a way a kid would, like, you're fucking the ghost. It's the ghost taking over, not you. This isn't you, kind of thing. And maybe it's Wendy. It's one of them. Anyway, so he tells Danny to run away. And then he, like, cranks the boilers up and it explodes. And it blows the house up.
With them in it?
With him in it. So, Jack. Yeah. So they get away in Halloran's cat. His, like, snowmobile thing.
So he still died in the hotel?
No. He survives, actually.
Oh.
So Halloran doesn't die in the book. He only dies in the movie.
Yeah, because that whole, like... Jack Nicholson at the end, frozen. It's like comical. It doesn't look.
It's really bad. Silly, yeah.
I'm like, you look fucking ridiculous. Like, you ruined the entire. They should have never shown it. They should have looked to the imagination.
Yeah.
Of what he would have looked like frozen. And no, they had to show him. And I'm like, now that's a fucking comic.
Because you know he's never making it out. That's the thing. Like, he's stuck in that maze. He doesn't know how to get out.
Because he stumbles and he falls. Yeah. And he's just like, I can't even move anymore.
Yeah.
I can't move. I'm done. And you're like, well, that fucking sucks. Sorry. And yet the kid gets out somehow.
Oh, because he backtracks. Follows
his footsteps.
Yeah, it's very clever, actually.
Very clever. Very, very clever.
And he knows the maze because he's been in it a couple times.
But why didn't Jack just follow the footsteps out? Here's another thing. New thing. See, this is where I'm getting too smart. If the kid runs in, why would he run in? Why not just sit on the outside of the entrance? Either the kid's going to die... Because he's in the maze, or he's going to run to you.
Because he's not thinking straight, I guess.
I would just sit there in the car and somewhere, a tent, I don't care, sitting outside the entrance, waiting for the kid to either come out or freeze to death.
Yeah, they're both just waiting.
Literally.
Kid's like, what the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, dying. That's what I would have thought to do. I don't know. Anyways, too smart. I know, too smart. Whatever, man. No, I would have toilet bowled his ass in the bathroom. So. Toilet bowl lid. That shit is fucking brutal. When Saw did that, I was like, oh, shit. Those toilet bowl lids are fucking heavy. And he's just whack, whack, whack.
I watched a thing the other day. It was like a documentary about The Shining. There's a lot of, like, it's like just a lot of, like, theories about, like, what Stanley Kubrick was doing at that time and, like, why he made The Shining. Apparently, like, there's a lot of theories that, like, The Shining was his apology because apparently he's the one who, like, he, like, filmed the moon landing and, like, he faked the moon landing. And, like, so he's apologizing for it. And there's a lot of theories and stuff. But the one that's interesting, the one I want to bring up, actually, is apparently there was, like, this quote that somebody said is, the only way to watch The Shining is both forwards and backwards or something. It was like something like that. That something that Stanley Kubrick said. So somebody actually did that. They like, so some person took The Shining and they played it both forwards and backwards at 50% opacity. So like at the same time. So like one over the other.
Yeah.
So you could see both shots at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's some fucking weird shit. When Jack Nicholson, when it says in the very end, group of 19, I don't remember what the date was. It's like 1970 something.
I don't know.
On the cake. And then it pans up and it shows Jack Nicholson's face.
Yeah.
Okay. At that exact moment, the name Jack Nicholson comes on screen. Stuff like that. And then like there's one, the scene where like the twins are like chopped up in the, at that exact moment, Jack Nicholson's face, he's like staring out the window going the other way, and like the way the blood is on his face, it like makes him look like he's wearing like clown makeup. It's super interesting. Like there's a lot of just interesting shit. Like, oh, that's kind of cool, that's neat. I don't know if anybody meant to do that or whatever. It's kind of interesting,
but. Man, yeah, but are these just the only examples or are there so many others?
There's a shitload. Yeah, there's a shitload of examples.
And then like, I know like the music with the Wizard of Oz, like I know it's, know people have too many times in their hands and they're figuring out this shit.
There's a bunch. There's like apparently like The Shining is about the like Native American genocide. There's like a lot of like things about that.
It was built on like a
Indian burial. I think it was. I know in the book they say that, but they might say it in the movie too. Actually,
I think they might have said.
They do say it in the movie. Actually, there's another really interesting one that I really like. Actually, there's two interesting things that they talk about.
Yeah, they did say because they were driving up and they were like, "Is this where the wagon was?"
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, they were in the wagon, horse wagon, and they got snowed in and they all died here."
Yes, the very
first conversation.
There are two really interesting things about Danny. On his tricycle, or his like little big wheel, big thing, that are super interesting. One is the second time, I want to say, he like is riding around and it's like one continuous shot.
Yeah.
He like is riding through and he rides through the part of the hotel where Jack Nicholson is like typing his story.
Okay.
It's like that big room with the big staircase.
Yeah.
So he rides past the staircase and he's like riding and then he rides like left and then right and then I don't remember what the exact route is, but at some point he turns a corner and all of a sudden he's upstairs. So he's like he's at that staircase but up the stairs, but he only rides straight. And there's a lot of like weird shit like that. It's like, how the fuck, like what is that supposed to be?
But it's one continuous
shot. It's like, what the fuck? And they even show it like that, like if you look, that's the staircase, that's the stained glass window. Like, in that corner, like, but it's, like, so quick that, like, you have to, like, slow it down frame by frame to be like, that's that.
And it's 100% not three levels?
I don't think so. It might be, but I could be wrong, but that's an interesting one. And then there's another one that's super interesting, and it involves the first time that Danny's going around.
Yeah.
And he, so it's two different scenes, but okay. When Jack Nicholson shows up at the very beginning of the movie, he shows up and he talks to the guy who is the present caretaker.
Yeah.
Okay. You walk into that office and he's talking to him in the office with like the other guy. And there's that giant window that leads like outside.
Yeah.
Right. It's a giant window outside. Like that's, you see the sunlight coming in the trees and it's super like, it's a very, very pretty window. It's very like, obviously a window. Later on, when Danny's on his big wheel and he's riding around, he rides past that office and then turns down a hallway. So what's behind that office is actually a hallway. So what the fuck, like, where's the window leading to?
You don't
to?
Think it's a mistake?
Apparently it's not. Apparently it's like one of those things where it's like, it's supposed to fuck with your brain. It's like, that's what the movie's, it's almost like the house is morphing, or like the hotel's morphing itself.
Well, unfortunately for him, he's doing it so quick that I wasn't even
nobody,
catching.
It takes fucking, it's been decades, and people are like, well, if you, like, it took somebody like making a layout of the hotel on like a blueprint and be like, okay, so the only way to explain this is with this blueprint.
Why the fuck would someone do that?
Because somebody just notices it and they're like, am I crazy? You're like, am I nuts here? And then, and then they start like, no, I'm not nuts. Okay, that's okay.
Is it a discussion that Stanley did that by accident?
Probably.
Or are we like sold? It's like serious. It was meant to be like that.
I don't know. It's hard to say. But
because to be fair, they did film in a hotel.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was a set that's where they
point.
Had to keep building it.
That's a good point. The argument is Stanley Kubrick is very, very meticulous about like the shots and stuff that he picks. So it's said that he does it on purpose, and the point of it is to throw you off. It's to like, it's and like those scenes were made to purposely like give you the layout of the hotel, but then obviously not. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's like you like. Which is, maybe that's the most interesting thing about Danny and Jack, is like the ghosts and like the hotel itself are always kind of fucking with them, but they never really address it. It's never like he runs into a bartender that he knows isn't there, but he's like offering him drinks and he's very cool with it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like, he acts like he knows him because you're like, oh, it's nice to see you again.
Right?
Can I have my...
And that's it. Like, but he knows he's not there, but it's just like, he's just rolling with it. Just like Danny is riding around this big wheel all the time. And like, I think he's just rolling with the fact that like, well, that hallway wasn't there yesterday. Like, it's just, they are willing to adapt. Whereas Wendy can't fucking take it. Like, maybe that's the point. I don't know.
The other hard thing to remember is that the entire hotel is all the same rug. So I'm wondering if Danny is, you don't know how long he's been driving around for.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He could have been doing this. You're talking about a child in a hotel for 4 months. He could be doing that for 12 hours. So if he's just doing that, by the time the whole rug and the same fucking walls and just one room is different than everything else.
Yeah.
That 237. To be fair, maybe Danny doesn't even fucking realize this point. That's also a good point as to how Stanley can cut where Danny is in the hotel.
Yeah.
Because when he turns a corner, you can just...
It's just clever
editing. And
then editing.
Just
yeah.
Paste the next corner because all the fucking walls are the exact same.
Yeah.
How funny. I didn't even... Now I gotta rewatch that whole scene. Because now I'm all confused.
The documentary, for those who want to watch it...
Thank you. Yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime is where I watched it. It's called Room 237.
Prime Video?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So Room 237, and it's just about just all of the conspiracy theories about the movie.
I thought the actual hotel room was 217.
Okay, in the book it's 217. In the movie it's 237.
But the book is actually based off a real hotel.
Yeah.
In the real hotel it's 217.
Yeah. So I might have actually called it the Stanley Hotel, but it's the Overlook in the movie, right? The Overlook Hotel?
Yeah.
In the real life, it's called the Stanley Hotel.
But the hotel they filmed in, it's called like the Timberland Hotel or something.
Oh.
The Timberland Overlook or something.
It's based off of the Stanley. I thought they filmed in the Stanley Hotel, but I couldn't.
No, they didn't.
You're probably correct.
And there was a reason why. Okay, first off, I heard this in an interview. There's a YouTube channel called Omar, and he's a ghost hunter, like a YouTube.
Okay.
What do you call it? Like an amateur?
Sure.
With this little handheld camera and kind of does whatever.
Like a paranormal.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not like legit. And like with money or anything. And he went to the Stanley Hotel and he was saying how he's like, I find it kind of ridiculous. There's a movie based off of this hotel, but it wasn't filmed in this hotel. Why would, like, that's so dumb. It was like a perfect setup where you needed a hotel to film in. There was a fucking hotel and you decided to do something else. And what was really weird was they changed the room apparently because I don't know what the hotel is called. The Timberland Hotel. Timberline Lodge.
Okay.
And it's because they didn't want people to veer away from the room 217, thinking the movie was real about their lodge.
Yeah.
Because the room 237 doesn't actually exist in their lodge. So that kind of sucks that the whole movie room is now turned.
Yeah.
Because of this fucking hotel, when they could have just done the Stanley and it would have been 217 and everything would have been proper.
Yeah.
There must be a reason why that must have not been. They probably couldn't shut down for 4 months or.
I mean,
they maybe didn't get snow. They had to get snow because, oh, well, no, they didn't have to get snow. It's just a ghost story. Doesn't actually mean they got snowed in the real story or not.
Yeah. I don't know. I see what you're saying, that, like, why not just use the hotel? But it's very possible he just walked into this other hotel and he's like, this is perfect. I like this more. Maybe it's just bigger. It's just grander. I don't know.
New question. What happened in room 217?
Oh, I actually, that's a good question. I don't actually remember.
Because the daughters were killed in the hallway.
Yeah.
There was that woman in the bathtub. And the only other scene was the dog and the blowjob.
I'm going to actually Google that. Because that's a good question, actually.
I wonder if it's because the woman died in the bathtub.
Sorry. Okay. I'm going to read this from a website. I actually don't even... eptrail.com, so take this with a grain of salt. But, okay. In 1911, room 217 was the presidential suite. Okay. Sorry. On the evening of June 25th of that year, a thunderstorm cut the power to all of the hotel's guests. And they were all taken to the lobby while staff was charged with lighting backup gas lamps.
The lobby would be where Jack Nicholson probably was.
Right. There was an unknown gas leak when chambermaid Elizabeth Wilson entered room 217 with a lit candle. The gas didn't have an odor at that time period, and she couldn't smell it. And as soon as she entered the room, there was an instant explosion. A massive blast destroyed about 10% of the hotel.
Holy.
Its entire west wing. Its entire west wing. So. Sorry, I'm trying to think of what this has to do with. There's a bunch, actually.
By the way, to fill this noise, it did take 5 years to make.
The movie took 5 years to make? Apparently. Really? Okay.
Oh, shit. That's a real story, right?
Like, that actually that's did a happen? Real story, yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm going to actually put it in The Shining. Yeah. Yeah, it just says... Okay, so according to a lot of different websites, it just says that that story happened, like that event happened, and Stephen King heard the story, and I think he might have based room 217 off of that. I don't actually know 100% though.
So based on that, I know this episode is really long. We're wrapping it up soon, okay? But based on that, would you say that the ballroom? There is a chance. Let's say there's a chance. I don't know the blueprint.
Yeah.
That the ballroom is probably under the presidential suite.
Okay.
Because 217 has to be on the second floor.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and there's rooms adjacent to that and like touching that room. So my new question is, ghosts are actually not all around the entire hotel, if you notice. They're only in specific corners, specific rooms. So I'm wondering if 10% of the hotel is where the ghosts are. The ballroom, the woman with the lady in the tub, who was burnt. No, she wasn't.
No, she was rotting.
There was the blowjob dog, who could have been in the exact same room, and the $2 in the hallway.
That's a good point.
but it could have been the end of the hallway because it was a presidential suite, and they wouldn't put a presidential suite in the middle of a hallway.
Interesting.
Anyways, I'm wondering if that's a fair... I gotta look at the blueprint. But...
yeah, we have to look. The next time we cover The Shining, because it did win, we'll have more answers to this question. How about that?
That's a good 10%. That's a lot.
Yeah. And apparently...
there's no ghosts in the lobby. There's no ghosts in the kitchen or in the game room. It's in the very specific rooms. So I'm really curious. Mm-hmm. There was one that walked into the kitchen, but I think that doesn't count. I think that's just Jack going cuckoo.
One last thing real quick before we sign off. Apparently, the ratings board didn't like the fact that the elevator opened and blood came out. So when he was submitting it to like the ratings board, Stanley Kubrick told them it was just rusty water.
No, it's water that's been sitting in there for like 100 years. Just no one's used it. That was so fucking obvious.
Yeah, it allegedly
man,
got away with it.
That scene was fucking iconic. The way it was so forceful, it moved the chair away from the wall towards you. Mm-hmm. That is so much like, let's say, rusty water to like, oh my gosh, that scene is like beautiful.
It's fantastic.
I'm curious how they filled it though.
I don't know. It must be a set or something. I don't know.
Well, it has to be, but I'm wondering if they did like a plastic cover inside of the elevator so it didn't go anywhere outside of the elevator and they filled it from the top.
I don't know. You know what? Actually, while we're actually talking about there's another documentary that's worth watching. Unfortunately, I couldn't tell you what it's called, which is a bad fucking start. But I'll even look it up really quick. It's 2 seconds. Sorry. Documentary by Vivian Kubrick.
Wow, it's sad you know who did it.
Yeah. Okay, it's literally just called Making the Shining.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I didn't think it was... I thought it was called something better
something
than
Something a
that.
Little more...
sorry.
Less direct. Yeah.
Anyway, I watched it. It was like one of the special features on the Shining DVD. You can probably find it on like YouTube or something. But it's like a making of documentary for The Shining instructed by his daughter, Vivian Kubrick. And there's a lot of like cool questions that are answered like about the making of the movie just in that. So
how would she know?
Excuse me. She was there like while they were filming it.
Wasn't she younger?
No, she was like older when they filmed that. Stanley Kubrick started making movies in like the 40s, I wanted to say. And that was filmed in the 70s, so...
oh, so he was definitely like 60 or 50.
So no, you know what? Actually, hold up. No, so The Shining was 1980 then. It was 1980s. And then Full Metal Jacket was 90s. And then he died in... No. Fuck. Okay, hold on. Sorry. Shining was 1980 for sure. The 80. Like, just right on the dot. And then Full Metal Jacket, I want to say, was like 80... either 87 or 92. It's like one of those.
It had to be late.
And then Eyes Wide Shut was 99. And then he died in 1999. So when he filmed The Shining, he was getting up there. So his daughter was like probably our age.
There was a 10-year gap between the two movies.
There's a 10-year gap between a lot of his movies. He does this. He did. Okay.
I know 2001 Space Odyssey is fucking old.
Yeah. Well, it's not that old. It's so he does this thing where like he releases a movie in like the second year of a decade and then the second last year of a decade, it seems like. If you look at his filmography, it's usually like 82, 88, or like 89, right. And then like 72, 70. You know what I mean? It's like...
how funny.
He does... it's just like the way... except for the biggest jump is, I know for a fact, it's Full Metal Jacket to...
Eyes Wide Shut.
Because
Clockwork Orange is older too.
Clockwork Orange, I want to say, is the same decade that 2001 Space Odyssey came out.
Which makes sense because they're both older.
Yeah. So I want to say that was the 60s. And in the 70s, he did Barry Lyndon and Dr. Strangelove was before that. Was before A Clockwork Orange.
That's probably one of his oldest.
Yeah. Maybe I'm fucking around. Maybe A Clockwork Orange is after 2001 Space Odyssey.
Do you want me to look it up?
No. See? No. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Dr. Strangelove and A Clockwork Orange, and then it's 2001 Space Odyssey in the 70s with Barry Lyndon. Maybe that's it.
Okay.
Fuck it. You know what? How about we're done?
We went off topic again. Yeah. But anyways, honestly, these two movies were great. The Shining. I never thought any of these questions. So we opened this.
Yeah.
Now we all have to watch the movies and do our little research. Honestly, I actually really enjoyed Rosemary's Baby, and I'm sorry it's gone. Yeah. But compared to the two, The Shining kind of, in my opinion, had to move on.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Rosemary's Baby is a really good movie, and it deserves a watch. It's like, it was made in a time when, like, there wasn't home video. So, like, when you kind of sat down, you can only watch it in a movie theater. So when you sat down, you kind of had to sit there and watch this slow burn of a movie. Like, right. It wasn't a movie where you had to have an action scene every 10 minutes to keep your attention, right? Like, movies like these days have to have, right. You know what I mean? It's like literally fucking, this is obviously a deterrent, it sounds like, but it's like, obviously, like, nothing fucking happens in Rosemary's Baby. But at the same time, a lot happens. It's one of those weird movies.
That's a very fair
but it's
subline for that. That mm-hmm. was a very fair, nothing happens, but yet everything happens.
Yeah. It's
all the time, every few minutes.
It's a good movie, but either way. All right.
Wrapping up, and
thanks for watching, listening. See you next week.
Bye, 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 bye.